chapter 25. I don't say 101 helping people, because I think sometimes, as Jesus said, I'll lay upon you no other burden, or, you know, just hold fast that which you have. Sometimes when you're down, you can't handle it, but I want to talk about the snowball effect of blessings. Leviticus 25. The snowball effect of blessings. And it's also this concept, and I may do another lesson on it next Thursday, because it helps people think right. Sometimes they don't understand the Lord, and they kind of get frustrated with the Lord, and it seems like the person who needs the help the most doesn't get it, and concept. And so I want to teach a little bit about that tonight, and the snowball effect of blessing. And I'll start in Leviticus 25, and then we'll hit several other passages as we have time. Leviticus 25, and I want to start at verse 18. Leviticus 25, 18 through 22. It says, "Wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, that ye may dwell in the land in safety." That's where we just got back from. "And the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety. And ye shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather or increase." So God goes ahead and beats them to their question. Their question is, okay, Lord, you said we're supposed to serve you and rest the seventh day and also rest the seventh year and not plan anything in the seventh year. So what are we going to eat that year? And so God answers them on that. and so he says, verse 21, "Then I will command my blessings upon you, in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the eighth year, and eat yet of the old fruit until the ninth year. Until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store." And so let me go ahead and just start with that, and let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the Word of God. It gives us amazing truth, Lord, that people can read things so easily and get a little bogged down in Leviticus and miss great things. And I pray that tonight we'd see this important truth that so many people don't understand their life. And they get so confused about, why do I have to struggle with this? And why do they not have to struggle with this? And other things, Lord, I just the concept's so important to thinking, and it also to obedience and faith. And I pray your Spirit would help us and speak to us in a great way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, a little math lesson tonight. So God says, all right, I know what you're going to do. I have foreknowledge, Romans 8 says, and Ephesians 1 says that. And so I know what you're going to do, and I know if you're going to obey me, and you're going to keep my Sabbath. And we're coming up on the seventh year. Let's say you started it, the Sabbath year was 2000 and then 2007 or whatever, and you're going forward from there, and you're coming up on the year. You're coming up on 2007, it's 2006, and you say, okay, we're going to keep this. On those Sabbath years, you let your fruit fall to the ground, lay on the ground, and it replenishes the land. That's one of our problems, our land, and our problem with what you eat is the land never gets rest. They just rotate crops, and so you can eat the right food, you can eat the right kind of food, but that food doesn't have the nutritional value that it used to have. But they're supposed to do that, and they're not do that. So they say, okay, I'm going to obey God. I'm not going to plant anything this year. God knows that. And so what happens is on that year, the sixth year, it says you get plenty of extra that'll last you through. Now, here's the thing. You ready? If you're planting on the sixth year and you're going to get enough, how much extra do you need? How many years extra? You need one extra year, right? You're missing your year of planting. You're only missing 1 year of planting, right? You follow that? So you need an extra year of food, right? But look what it says here, verse 21, "I'll come my blessings upon you on the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years." Wait a minute. If I'm on the sixth year and I need to get through the seventh, so I need 2 years on the sixth year, right? Follow? Because I need to get 6 years in the seventh year. Okay, so if God gives you 2 years, you're okay. What does God do? Gives you 3 years. In other words, you're wealthier. You're wealthier. Because God says, I'm going to bless you so much. Again, then what happens? Well, you have to tithe. Is this person going to have a problem tithing? No. Because they have they have 3 years worth on 1 year. And so to tithe, not worried about it. What happens to the person who's not going, or the nation, if Israel said, no, we're not going to do this year. We cannot afford to. We're not going to do this. What happens to them? They don't get the land blessed, and their 7 years produces less than 6 years. Okay? And you know what they're going to say? You ready? Deal with this all the time. They're going to say, I cannot afford a tithe this year, God. And they're going to struggle, and they're going to be angry, and they're going to say, God, I would have tithed if you would have given me more stuff, but I can't tithe, and I'm struggling with this because, and somebody would walk by and they'd say, God is not fair. Look at that. The very guy who needs more, he's the poor guy. Look at that guy. He's got a straggly farm, and his farm is struggling, and you think God bless him. And this guy over here, he's already rich, and God gives him this huge crop, and this poor guy who's struggling gets a terrible crop. God is not fair. And that is what so many people do in life. Because blessings and cursings snowball. It works that way. Now let's look at chapter. Let's see. We're in chapter 25, and let's go forward to chapter 26. Chapter 26. Here's the other guy. Doesn't do that. Doesn't keep God's word. Doesn't do it that way. Chapter 26. And it says, verse 14, if they don't obey, but if you will not hearken unto me and will not do my commandments, and ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I will also do this upon you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and a burning og that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursues you. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins, and I'll break the pride of your power, and I'll make the heavens as iron, and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. And your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees and the land yield fruit. And how's this guy? So now it comes for this time for this guy to tithe. He can't feed his family. And his bad actions snowball, and now he's going to be disobeying God on tithing. Because disobedience snowballs. There's a snowball effect in doing things. So, let me show this again in Matthew chapter, Malachi, right before Matthew, Malachi. Let's see if I can say all I want to say on this, because we struggle with this, and we get frustrated at this, and we get angry at this, and we do the same mistakes over and over again, and we compound things, or we get blessed more and more, and it's easier. Malachi chapter 3. And verse 6, going in the same thing of tithing here. For I am the Lord, Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, not consumed, even from the days of your fathers, are ye gone away from mine ordinance, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. So, they have a devourer. The nation was cursed. It says, I will rebuke the devourer later on, verse 11. Their nation was poor, and God said, you're doing this, and you're struggling because you've robbed me. You've not given me my tithes. And God says, if you will tithe, I'm going to bless you. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I rebuke the devourer for your sake. So when you obey, I'm going to bless you so much. But if you don't obey, when you obey, I'm going to, your storehouses can't hold it all. Right. You get more than enough. You say, but I need that 10%. No. As I've said to you many times before, they say, well, I can't tithe because I got this and this and this and this and this going on. I said, you have this and this and this and this going on because you don't tithe. That's the way God works. And if you would tithe, you'd say, Pastor, it's so great. I it doesn't even hurt to tithe now. Yeah, because God's blessing. He gave you 3 years for one instead of just two, which should have been enough. Because blessings snowball. And they do that. Now, take that principle right there, and you'll find it all over the Bible. Let me show you Matthew 25, and let me show you how God looks mean here and how he's not mean. Once you understand that principle, Matthew 25. And verse 28, therefore take the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto everyone that hath shall be given. That doesn't seem fair. No, it is fair, because the guy with 10 talents used his 10 talents. And he got 10 more talents, and he got the one talent from the guy who wouldn't work. But the one who has only had one talent should get more. No. The guy who had 10 talents was faithful to his 10 talents, and the guy who wouldn't do what he's supposed to do lost everything. Take the one talent from this guy who had one and just hid it and didn't use it wisely. Now look at verse 29. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. That verse by itself seems unfair until you get the context, until you understand this principle in the Bible. It's a Bible principle all the way throughout. Blessing snowball. You do the right thing and you get blessed, and then more blessings come, and it gets easier and more, and it snowballs, and your snowball grows into a big giant thing. Because you did what was right. And so it does that. And so that's the way it works. Luke 6:36, given it shall be given unto you. But not just given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. Shall men give to your bosom freely. And so you get blessed. And God works that way. And you'll get more in the future. So, two guys are on each side of the hill. They're enemies, and they are fighting against each other, and they both say the hill is theirs. And so they both decide. The one guy on our side, he decides he's going to roll a snowball, because he knows snowballs get bigger and bigger, toward his enemy's house, and it's going to go, and it's going to smash his enemy's house in Christian love. And so he takes a snowball and he puts it behind his house and he starts pushing up the hill, but he kind of slacks off and he gets tired and takes a break and kind of wedges it down there so it's sitting real good. And then he goes back and eats lunch, and then he slacks around and doesn't really get to it that day. And then he starts climbing up the hill more and starts rolling up the hill, and the snowball's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And he's thinking, boy, by the time I get over the top of this hill, this snowball's going to have a good start. And it's not that far to the guy's house, but it's going to be so big, it'll be great. And I will smash his house, and then I'll have the whole mountain. And he starts going a little farther and going a little bit more, and he's pushing his snowball up, and it's getting bigger and bigger. But he says, you know, I don't really feel like doing this right now. I don't want to go lay down for a while and take a nap, and I want to take a few days off this. I've had a lot of stress lately, and I'm not going to do anything. And so he leaves his snowball that's now, you know, it's getting, you know, 4 feet high. It's pretty big, and he's getting near the top. He leaves it near the top, and then he goes out the next day. And he's all right, I can be able to push it over the top the next day and kill my enemy. And he's about 20 feet from the top of the hill, and his snowball is big, and he's pushing it up, and all of a sudden he looks over the hill, and there's his enemy at the top of the hill rolling his snowball over toward him. And here comes the snowball toward him, and he turns around and starts running down the hill, but guess what? His snowball starts rolling down the hill too. and both the snowballs smash his house. Why? Because the guy who was more diligent got over the hill. Well, the guy who was having a harder time, he should be the one who gets a snowball, but he didn't earn it. And when you don't, and so often the very person who needs something the most doesn't do it. And what when they need something the most, let me illustrate it this way. The person who needs to read the Bible the most doesn't read their Bible. So what happens? Because they're not reading their Bible, they get very spiritually weak. And they're not strong enough to read their Bible. And what happens? They get weaker. You know, today at some point, and we have a whole bunch of you who are so strong, you read your Bible today. And you got stronger. You say, it's not fair. The person who needs to be spiritually stronger should have the Bible. They should have gotten fed spiritually. They should have. There's probably, don't hear this. Okay, don't hear what I'm going to say. There's probably some of you who could get by without reading your Bible today and probably still be spiritually strong because you're so charged up spiritually and read your Bible so much. Don't try it. But you might not backslide and go into deep sin if you didn't read your Bible one day. Because you are so... You're like a person, like a bunch of us right now. We could go without eating for a day. You know, we have calories to burn, and so you understand that. And I read your Bible every day. I read the Bible every day. I understand that. But the strong person gets stronger because they're strong enough to read the Bible every day. The person who needs the Bible the most, who's weak, is so weak they don't read their Bible, and so they don't get strong tomorrow to read the Bible more because they chose to disobey. They got weaker. Now it's going to be harder for them to read the Bible. And that concept holds true. It's just so many different ways I could illustrate this. It is so common. The person who needs credit the most is the person who doesn't have credit. The person who has all the credit in the world doesn't need it. Why? That's the reason they have good credit. You follow that? And say, it's not fair out there. They give that guy over there a loan, and he already owns his house, and he doesn't have any debt like me. I need the loan because I have debt. It's not fair. This world's not fair. The world is fair. That person there has abundance, and not always the case. I understand somebody inherited from drug money, from, you know, whatever. I understand. There's weird things. But understand... Who pays the most for insurance? For their car insurance. This guy says, oh man, I'm so broke and I've had car accidents and I don't have a car right now. But that's the way you drove. And it's not fair that insurance company, just because, listen, I need insurance more than everybody else. I should have cheaper insurance. That's the backward logic that we think with. And so we get bitter at other people, and what we start saying to people who aren't in our situation because we have not done the right thing, and the person that hath not is taken from them, suddenly we're saying to people who are telling us who have wisdom, we start saying, well, it's easy for you to say because your life's not like mine. I'm not going to listen to you. It's easy for you to say that. It's easy for you to say how to have a good marriage. Your marriage is good. Yes. You know, if somebody set up Johnny's, I've been divorced 8 times, marriage counseling service. Hey, buddy, I can help you. I've been divorced. I know what a woman like that is like. 30 people dumb enough to go to him. Liz Taylor marriage counseling. And but then we look at somebody else and say, well, it's easier for you to say because you're blessed. And my life, it just isn't blessed. And you say I should be doing these things over here, but you don't understand. It's not like that in my life. My life's hard, and do you, it's easy for you to say to do things that way, but you are blessed, and I am not blessed. That's the illogic of the human mind. And God said, that's my principle. If you tithe, I give you 3 years. You don't tithe, you're too poor to tithe. That's, and you say, but I'm so poor. Lord, why are you not blessing me? I'm poorer than that guy. Yeah, I'm not going to bless you. He that doesn't have is going to get taken away. Because the reason he doesn't have it is because of what his choices were. You made that choice. And so we sometimes get bitter at that stuff. We get upset at people. It's very strange. The person who needs the most grace from his boss gets no grace from his boss. You didn't fire him, and he missed a day this week. You always treat that guy better than me. Yeah, because he didn't miss any last week, and week before and week before. You miss it all the time. Well, I can't afford to lose his job. Yes, you're right. There's a reason you can't afford to lose his job. Did you know if you're a great worker, you're not trembling about losing your job? Mm-hmm. And if you slip up, you're not going, oh no, my boss is going to fire me. I was late to work today. Is my boss going to fire me? You're not saying that. Now, your boss might say you should have done that, but you're never late. Mm-hmm. And you're always there. And so your boss isn't going to fire you that one time. Well, it's not fair. That guy, the boss always gives him a raise and does all these things, and he's late and he doesn't get fired. I was late and I got fired. It's not fair. I just lost a job last month, and it's not fair I get fired again. To him that hath. Do you understand the principle? You follow? It's all over the Bible. So you don't get bitter at God if you say, well, God didn't bless my crops. Look, I can't tithe now anyway. He already knew what you were going to do. You could have tithed. You say, well, then I would have only had 90% of my stuff. No, you had 3 years. You don't understand. You didn't end up with 90%. The guy who rested his land on the seventh year didn't end up with 90% of his of his stuff, right? He didn't end up with six-sevenths of his stuff, if you want to put it that way. He ended up with more than seven-sevenths. Because he did the right thing. Few thoughts, now that's the sermon, that's the introduction, that's most of the thought there. If you can get that concept in your mind that he that does the right thing is blessed, and so now it snowballs for us, and now it's easier to do right. You're reading your Bible every day, and now it's easy to read your Bible every day. you understand that statement? Because you read your Bible every day, it's easy to read your Bible every day now, because it's going to snowball. You prayed and the grace of God is upon you and the devil has kind of lost his grip on you and you've gotten spiritually strong, and so now it's easier to pray. And you're not, oh, it's just so hard to pray. And you'll have to make yourself for a while. And you'll have to say, I'm not planting this year. We're not picking that stuff this year. It's going to fall on the ground. We're going to trust God. That's that first step of being a have person. You're the person that has and will be given to him. And you look out there and say, boy, those apples are starting to rot. And I'm just going to let them drop in the ground. Boy, if we don't get a good crop, you're going to get a good crop. That's faith. And that being a have person, it's so funny to me. The person who needs authority the most doesn't have authority to help them. The person who needs a sermon the most is never there when it's preached. That's one of the reasons I never preach a sermon on what somebody needs. I think you're talking about me, Pastor. I never do that because when I do that, you're not going to be there. So many pastors make a mistake. They scold the people. Why aren't they? You should come and preach a whole sermon. How important did you come to church? And the people who need to hear that weren't there. And the people who are always at church were there to hear that. And they're at church anyway. And so you realize, and that's so true, that whoever, people in my church said, Pastor, I wish so-and-so would have heard that. They struggle with that. And I said, people struggle with that because they weren't here to hear it. it's the principle of life. The rich get richer in the right kind of way. I'm not talking the political way, the way our government works. I'm talking the rich get richer spiritually. So a few thoughts here. Number one, blessings beget blessings. Let me take you to Daniel 2, again, show these principles in different spots. But most people, don't want to work by faith, so they stand back here and say, God, if you will bless me, I will do this. God said, that's not faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. You do this, I will bless you. And therein you have your battle of who's going to obey God. Well, if God will answer my prayers, I'll pray. That's not, you understand, it's not logical order. If my boss would pay me, I'd go to work. That's not the order things go in, right? You obey, and then God blesses you. And then he makes your land produce 3 years in one. Remember, not 2 years, three. Because doing the right thing snowballs things. And that's how it works. Number one, blessings beget blessings. Daniel chapter 2. And did I say that? Verse 21. He's praising God for what God does. And he says he changes times. He changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise. And knowledge to them that know understanding. Why would God give knowledge to those who know understanding? Because it's principle. Why would God give wisdom to the wise? Wouldn't he give wisdom to the unwise? No. The wise took the wisdom they had. They obeyed it. They're faithful with the least. God makes them faithful in much. God said, do this through your life. I need wisdom, God. God says, okay, you do this right now. And you say, okay, but I want wisdom for that stuff. God says, be wise and do what I've already told you to do. Okay, Lord, you show me this is the wise thing. I've been foolish. I'm going to do this. It's wise to do. Now God says, okay, I'll give you more wisdom now. He gives wisdom to the wise. He doesn't give wisdom to fools. Boy, they've made so many bad decisions. They need wisdom. Maybe they just need to make a simple right decision of what they already know. Because God gives wisdom to the wise. That's how God works. So blessings beget blessings. God gives wisdom to the wise. He gives 3 years to the guy who lets his land rest. He blessings beget blessings. Reading your Bible makes you strong enough to read your Bible. Going to church makes you strong enough to go to church. Don't wait for the time when you have it all. Don't sacrifice the good on the altar of the perfect. Love the best you can love somebody. God will give you more love. Don't expect everything to be done ahead of time. Don't expect your crop to grow for 3 years instantly and you say, okay, I'll let it rest. You gotta obey God and do that. Blessings beget blessings. Strength gives you strength. Sometimes I see someone who doesn't take care of their body, and then their body gets so bad they can't take care of their body. Make sense? There's a certain point where it's easier to stay in shape than get back in shape. I wouldn't know either. But that's what I hear. And number two, don't roll back down to the bottom. Don't roll back down to the bottom. What do I mean by that? Here you are serving the Lord and you're conquering something and you're battling. The Lord's giving you strength and you're having some victories and you're climbing up the hill and you're doing good and you're getting blessings. And then all of a sudden you say, well, I give up. And you roll back down and start all over again. Why? Because him that hath not, it shall be taken from him. And you just lost all that you had gained. Please, let me plead with you, if you're a growing Christian, though you might still have some battles and somewhere to go, and so do I, and you still have some growth to have, don't give up and lose all of it. You don't start off where you were. The prodigal doesn't get his fortune back. When you go away from God, you lose a lot. And when you go back down the hill, you understand, God says, I'm going to take from you. You lost your blessing, Esau. You can weep and cry, but you know what? You gave your soul and you weren't even going to die just for a bowl of chili. And you're going to lose all that because that's what you did. And so do not lose. Do not roll back downhill, because when you do good, it snowballs. When you do bad, it snowballs. That's the problem. You can, in certain cases, you can watch a person with a decent life unroll their life in a matter of months. And boy, that pottery is going to be pretty hard to glue back together. And there'll be cracks in it from now on. A person who's drug-free and they go back to drugs, it's hard. Start climbing again. Now do it. Start climbing again. But you lose. Doing the wrong thing snowballs. Not reading your Bible snowballs. Mistreating your family snowballs. You can't just mistreat your family and expect, okay, I'm sorry. Everyone treat me just like you did before I was nasty. Before I ruined the family. Before I started being abusive and all that stuff. Okay, I said I'm sorry now. Everybody treat me just like I was. No. That's not the way it works. You got to climb back up the hill now. Blessing begets blessing, but do not roll back down to the bottom. Number three, praise God for what he has already snowballed. Now, let me encourage you on this thing. This is tough for us because I got some things I'm battling and some things I'm fighting to be a better Christian, and I'm not there yet, and things in our church that I'm trying to help us become a better church, and things we need to do better. And what I can do is just look at my failures and look at our shortcomings of the church. And we should be honest and confess our sins and press toward the mark and be there for perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Understand that. But understand what you can do is you can forget what God has already done for you. Because you're struggling a little bit with anger, you forget you were delivered from addiction. And not praise God for it. You can, because you're still struggling a little bit with your Bible reading, and you shouldn't, I know that, but realize, you know what? God saved me. I wasn't even saved. And God, you know, if God helped you fix your finances and you're not being foolish with your money anymore, praise God for that. You snowballed in that. You did good. Don't give up and throw up your hands and become discouraged. Because God's done some things, but you're not there yet. When the man went to Jesus and said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Jesus did not rebuke him, but helped him. And so do not forget what God's done in your life, and don't forget the snowball things in your life. You know, it's easy for us to remember, to forget the things. Maybe you do read your Bible every day, and that's a miracle, and God helped you. Maybe you're not on drugs anymore. Maybe you do have a good marriage now. Praise God for these things, and enjoy them, and say, praise God, I have snowballed in these areas good, and praise God, God's helped me, and I'm blessed, not struggling with that anymore. We don't notice what we don't struggle with. If you don't have a bad temper, you don't notice you don't have a bad temper. All you notice is those who do. If you're good with your money, you don't know you're good with your money. You don't notice you're good with your money. You just despise those who do. And many times when you've had a victory and been changed, you don't, and then you have this area where you're not there yet, you kind of get discouraged because the devil kind of makes you look at it as what you, and work on it and confess it and get counseling and study the Bible and see what the Bible says in that subject and all those things, and work on it and press toward the mark and all. But do not forget what God has done. How many of you are not where you were before? Some of us. How many of you don't like raising your hand when I ask you a question? Okay. And so, listen, praise God. Praise God. How many of you who aren't where you used to be still have some things to work on? Okay. That didn't make sense. That's more hands. That's because I just got snowballed. And so, a good snowball. I got more than it didn't make any sense. I had 20 hands raised and 30 the next time. It's good. Let's just try for 40. And you get blessed. And praise God for what he's done. And praise God for the growth. And praise God you're in church today. Not all of you were in church a year ago. Praise God. Praise God for the victories you've had. And continue doing the right thing. And don't roll back down the hill. And take a step. And you know what step you need to take. That's the thing. Is most people say, well, what am I going to do then? Don't worry about then. See, because you did what you needed to now, he'll snowball it. By the time you get to then that you're so worried about, you'll be strong enough to handle it. If you'll do what you know you need to do now. That's good stuff. I like that. It's good preaching, Pastor. Amen. So I like that. It's so important. Because blessing snowball and cursing snowball. So you better be on the right side of it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word, Lord. There's so many unsaid things with this principle throughout your word. Daniel talks about it. Matthew talks about it. Oh, Lord, it's talked about in Leviticus. It's talked about all over. And we thank you that you snowball blessings. Bible readers are strong enough to read the Bible. Thank you for that. Lord, I pray that we do people who are wise and people who do the right thing and people who don't excuse doing wrong for some future challenge when we know what we need to do right now, because you'll give us the strength through being faithful in the least. You give wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Help us to be those wise people and understanding people who do right and then see it snowball. And we're blessed. Thank you for your word. What a great principle throughout your word, Lord. May we have it and live it. May this church do it. May we as individuals get this. And thank you, Lord, that we can realize that though we're not strong enough or big enough to handle what's coming in the future, Lord, if we'll do right now, we'll get 3 years when we only need 2. And thank you, Lord, for being such a faithful God and seeing what we're doing. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. How many of you?